Welcome to our Saturday podcast. No Blazing 5 this week because there's only 4 games. And to be honest, I only loved one. But I thought, hey, let's talk about them from a gambling perspective with RJ Bell. Pregame.com, straight out of Vegas on Fox Sports Radio. His Twitter account, go follow him, at RJ in Vegas. All right, RJ is ready to go. So Rams at Packers is the only game I would have bet. It starts at 7, it's down to 6.5. I would take Green Bay at 6.5. And I think there's this misconception that it's Aaron Rodgers carrying an average unit and that the Rams are actually a lot of star players and Jared Goff can just hand it off. But the truth of the matter is Green Bay had 7 Pro Bowlers and the Rams had 2. And I look at Green Bay as a team that should be favored, had one really bad Sunday all year, and I think it's a more talented roster top to bottom. I think the Rams may have more young, promising players. But if you look at Green Bay, they have a Pro Bowler at quarterback, running back, wide receiver, corner, linebacker, 2 on the offensive line, and Kenny Clark's not a Pro Bowler, but he's close. On the defensive line. So I like Green Bay to win this game comfortably. How would the sharps, RJ, see it?
Well, I got to tell you, this is a red poison on the medicine cabinet game for me because I agree with you. So start there. I feel like in this line early was 7.5.
Yeah.
So it got bet down 7.5, 7, 6.5. Remember, 7 is the second most key number in the NFL. It's the most common second most common outcome, 7 points. So it's such a key number. But the sharps, the biggest bettors, are all over the Rams. And I'm not sure I understand why. And like right now, and this is what we call sharp versus squares, in that if you look at the bet splits, it's about 70% or more of the bets cash-wise are on Green Bay.
A much more popular team, yeah.
But the line keeps dropping, and what we call this is booking faces, which is the people who are betting the Rams are so respected, even though the most of the money's on Green Bay, they're making the line go down. I'll just continue with my argument, continuing yours for Green Bay. I mean, Jared Goff in the cold, 4 times he's been able to play, or he's played when it's been 45 degrees or less, 0-4 against the spread. And we all remember that famous Chicago game that he was just horrible, and that was the only game below 30. And in those 4 games, the Rams have scored 10 less points per game than expected. You add in the sore thumb, you got to figure a bad hand hurts you in the cold. I don't fully understand it, but I tell you, when it's this kind of betting, you've got to be careful because it's serious money back in the Rams.
Okay, that's interesting. Again, we learned something. All right, I would take the Bills -2.5, although my guess is there's a lot of Ravens money, and there's concerns that the Bills are a bad matchup. They don't match up with Baltimore. But here's what I would say. When I watched the Colts game, I think the Colts' offensive line is so good that it gives us a false sense of what the Bills' defensive front is. We think it's weak because the Bills don't match up. They're probably a defensive lineman away from being a very good defensive line. Ed Oliver's a very good young player. But the Colts make the Bills' defense, especially up front, look very below average, and I don't think they are. I don't think Baltimore will dominate that line of scrimmage like the Colts did against the Bills. So I think Buffalo wins here by about a touchdown. And I do think Lamar Jackson tends to play better with a lead, though he proved last week he can play from behind. I think they feel a little different when they trail. So where I feel with Josh Allen, I get a quarterback who the score's irrelevant. He's got a Mahomes feel to him. I would take Buffalo Hill here. My guess is you're going to be on the Ravens and the sharps are on the Ravens.
No, actually, this surprised me too, is sharp action is on Buffalo here for sure. Let me ask you, Colin, it sounds like you think that the Colts game would lead to a downgrade on Buffalo. Now, obviously, they didn't cover the game.
Yeah, I think the Colts are about as good as a 7 seed will ever be, and I think their dominating offensive line, it skews our perspective of Buffalo's defense. We now think it's just weak. They couldn't keep them out of their side of the field. And I just think it's a I think the Colts did this two or three times to teams this year. They make them look overwhelmed up front.
Yeah, so I've been – let's talk about the Bills' defense for a second. You know, I've been doing this 20-plus years, so in a way it doesn't feel like it to me, but there's been evolutions throughout that time. In the last few years, this evolution about what efficiency means on offense. So if you run the ball for 5 yards a clip, that sounds good to me, right, because you're going to get a first down in theory every two plays. The Bills are comfortable – letting teams run the ball. They're playing their nickel, saying, go ahead and run. Even if you get 5 yards a clip, that's going to be less efficient than what we can do on offense. So in a way, the Colts look like they were effective on offense. I think that's what what everyone that I respect says, is that's what the Bills wanted the Colts to do, because they figure they're going to look fine, but we're going to look even better. So in a weird way, it looked like the Colts played a good game. And it felt kind of close, I guess, but it's supposedly what the Bills wanted, because Josh Allen will do better than 5 yards a clip. Now, listen, you talk to Cosell, some of the real elite minds in football. What's been the discussion about that Bills D? Because the season started, the sense was, oh, they're down. It seems to me there's a lot of respect for that Bills D, because they approach the game differently in a more modern way.
I also think they're very good situationally. It's got a New England feel where it bends a lot, but you get inside the red zone and Buffalo's defense is pretty hardy.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it too, because if you require the opposition to be perfect all the way down the field instead of give up big plays, the theory is they're going to have one holding call or make a mistake at some point. Now, if you look at Baltimore, this is a team I think you have to have two power ratings on. One against good teams, one against bad teams. Because against bad teams, Baltimore is a bully. They do so well getting margin, covering the spread. And their offense looked really good. So let's look at the run since the Steelers game and the COVID outbreak. They played Cincinnati. They played the Jags, the Cowboys, the Browns. Now, the Browns are a decent team, but their defense is really bad. The only decent defense they played were the Giants, and they got 27. So, okay, that's fine. That's probably better than fine. But then against Tennessee, it feels like that was a redemption game. But when you only score 20 points against a really bad defense, like, what's your take right now on the Baltimore offense? It feels like everyone thinks they're back. I question it because of the level of competition.
Well, I think what they are is unique, and they're kind of enigmatic. It's hard to prepare for them. So I always think, unless you face a veteran, finely tuned defense, and that's Tennessee's defense isn't very good, I think Baltimore's going to give a lot of people problems as long as Lamar Jackson is in his physical prime, because I don't think you can duplicate him at practice. I think they're very explosive. But I do think the offense for the Ravens does have outside the hash mark limitations. I don't think it's a very good receiving core, and Lamar's not great throwing the ball up the field outside the hash mark. So limited, but if you're flawed or if you're young, Baltimore can completely overwhelm you.
Yeah, and Buffalo played him pretty well last year when Josh Allen wasn't playing as well himself. But I'm talking about the defense against the Baltimore offense. Two last things about the Bills. I would make the following case, and this is going to sound like a hot take, but hey, cold cash over hot takes. We don't do that. Is one, I don't think the Bills lost a single game this year that they didn't have a good reason to lose. So obviously the Hail Mary set that aside. Is remember that game when they played against Tennessee? It was Monday morning, and they didn't know if they were going to play Tennessee on Tuesday or Kansas City on Thursday. So they literally had to go down to Tennessee on 36 hours notice and play that game. They didn't play well. They lost. Then they had to play Kansas City the next Monday then, and it was just total disruption. I'm not saying you discount the losses totally. I'm saying I think there was a reason for every loss, which is kind of stunning to think a team that is about even, if you think about it, against Baltimore with a line 2.5 or so, it's saying these are even teams. I think that obviously Buffalo's the better team. One last thought. Zach Morris, running back, is out for Buffalo. I think it leads to more four wide receiver sets. There hasn't been many times this year that all receivers have been healthy for Buffalo. They are now. I expect a more wide open Bills game offensively.
All right, Browns Chiefs has red flag all over it for me. We've seen a lot of these 9, 8, 9, 10-point favorites lose in the divisional round. Steelers against Jacksonville, New England against Mark Sanchez, Peyton Manning lost 13-3. Broncos were a 9-point favorite at home, lost to Flacco. The 15-1 Packers, 9-point favorites, lost at home to the Giants. So this is just too many points. I'm not giving Cleveland 9.5 or 10 points. I just can't do it. And I also wonder, Kansas City has not really beaten up on a team since the Jets middle of the season. I do get Andy Reid's good off a bye. This is a stay-away game for me. I don't understand the line. I don't understand how Cleveland can get 9.5, 10 points. So I wouldn't bet it. What would the wise guys say?
You know, I heard your show this week, and let me give you a little caveat to put in the arsenal. When you don't understand the line, I think your instincts to say, I'm going to be cautious, are exactly correct, right? So you, if anything, sometimes you'll say, I'm going to go with the line that doesn't make sense because there must be a reason. But here's the caveat. If there is a reason, and usually that's going to be public bias, then go with it, meaning go and take the value. Because I'll explain the Kansas City line simply. There's a lot of people betting this week that don't bet typically, and they just think Kansas City's 15-1, they're the Super Bowl champions. They're not thinking about margin against Carolina. They're not so there's a reason there's a bias here, and it's because there's a love of the Super Bowl champion that only lost one game. Because if you were a casual fan, like you're a casual UFC fan, you don't know how, or maybe you do, but I don't think how McGregor did in this second round. You just know what the guy's record is, right? And is he a big brand? Well, that's kind of what Kansas City is to the casual football fan. The champion that was 15-1, right? Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, no, it's an easy bet for a square, for a casual bettor.
Exactly, and thus, if that's what's driving the line, then I think the Cleveland value is valid. I like the Browns, especially at 10 this week. You mentioned the Jets. This is interesting. There's been 8 games since that Kansas City Jets game. 0-7-1 against the spread. It's been half a season since Kansas City has covered a single game. 0-7-1. Now, you talked about Andy Reid off a bye. Excellent, no doubt. 20-11 against the spread. That counts regular season and postseason. 6-2 in the postseason. I actually like, if you do like the Browns in the first quarter. Because I think that there's a chance Kansas City's a little rusty because not only did they have the bye, but they had the extra week where they didn't play their players. And we also know this, Kansas City tends to start slow in last year's playoff games. So I think Browns in the first quarter also lets them run the ball, because what I'm afraid of, if Baker gets behind and has to throw every down,
then you're in trouble. There's a recipe for Cleveland here. I don't think there's a recipe for Kansas City. And so that's the big advantage. That's why they're favored. I would say this, Browns led 10 times at halftime and went 10-0 in those games. And to your point, Kansas City last year, off a bye, fell behind 24-0.
Yeah.
So Cleveland's not losing a 24-0 lead if they get there.
It seems like, and that would be something I'd say to end my point on this game, is that in the last year or two, the evolution of sports betting with legalization and all that is these books are being very competitive, trying to offer derivative bets, things like first quarters, first halves. And you can really isolate why you like a game. And to me, if I think about why I like the Browns, I'm thinking I like them if they're not really behind. I like them because I think Kansas City might be a little apathetic. Even though it's a playoffs, they tend to be. Why not do the first quarter? I like that better. And if you're not betting tens of thousands of dollars a game, which hardly anyone is, betting derivatives don't have any disadvantage. There's less liquidity, but for if you're betting $500 or less, liquidity doesn't matter. So I would look at the first quarter if you like the Browns.
Pregame.com, RJ Bell. More after this. All right, finally, RJ Bell at RJ in Vegas, straight out of Vegas on Fox Sports Radio. No Blazing 5 this week. We've tried to just give you perspective on the games. So before I talk Bucks at Saints minus 3, New England, Bill Belichick this year went 7-9. Now think about that. The Bills were excellent in the division, Miami much better. He went 7-9 with one Pro Bowler, one that wasn't a special teamer, Stephon Gilmore. Got hurt late. That tells you the kind of coach Belichick is. And I don't think Tom Brady so far this year has missed Bill Belichick. They have a lot of weapons. Carolina's rebuilding. Atlanta's rebuilding in division. They got very easy scheduling end of the year, and they're hot. This is the game I think Brady needs Belichick, because I think the Saints minus three is my pick. They have a better roster. They have a better coach. They have a better defense. And I just think this is the kind of game Belichick never gets swept in a season. I think Tampa's going to go 0-3 against the Saints. And this is the kind of game where you need an elite coach to win when you're really bailing water on the roster. And I don't think they have it in Bruce Arians, so I'm going to take the Saints minus three.
So you're saying you think this is the first time this season
that Tom really could use Belichick, and you'll notice it. You'll feel like Peyton is outmaneuvering Arians.
Yeah, I think you're right there. But I would make the case where you needed Belichick would be the fact that he's a wild card team, right? And that he has to go road here if he against Green Bay potentially. And the amazing stat, I'm sure you heard it, was Brady in all those years in the playoffs had never been a wild card team. Right. Because I look at Sean Payton as almost, I think, offensively better than Belichick. And again, I love Belichick. Payton, who else has done a backup quarterback? Think about this. You always talk about, Belichick, when he was with the Browns, what was his record? He didn't have a quarterback. And I think those are valid points. How does Payton do so well with backup quarterbacks? I mean, it's like he's the best offensive coach in football, yeah, with Andy Reid being right there. I also think this, Bruce Arians isn't, right? Bruce Arians got fired by the Steelers effectively as an offensive coordinator. And I'm not saying Pittsburgh never makes a mistake, but it just feels like to me that Bruce Arians knows how to work the media. Yeah. And you know more media guys than I do, but I hear from people that use, you know, through the years, that he's like always available when he wasn't, you know, for the radio hits and all that. I think he gets a lot of love that isn't warranted. I mean, where would you put Bruce Arians 1-32 as a head coach in the NFL?
Below 15.
All right. So, I mean, I think that says a ton, no doubt. Now, here's the other question in this game. The old cliche about it's hard to beat a team three times, history says that's BS, so forget that. But do you believe that the matchup the Saints have shown to be so superior in the two games earlier is something that makes you like the Saints in this game?
Well, I think they have the best roster in the league, and I think they don't have to take big risks defensively to keep players in front of them. I think they have elite corners, a significant pass rush, active linebackers. So whereas I think the Bucs defense, it's a little bit of a shell game. They've got to take big risks to cover up a young secondary. The Saints can go man-on-man, play more straight up, and I think they have better personnel. So Brady's very good against the blitz. The Saints don't have to blitz. They just have to win one-on-one matchups against very good Saint defenders, and I don't think they will.
No, I think it's a good point. I personally lean to the Saints. One stat and then one thing about the wise guys. Here's the stat. There's only been three games this year that Drew Brees, Kamara, and Michael Thomas have all played. That was the first Tampa Bay game, the second Tampa Bay game, and last week. So they look pretty good in those games. And finally, and this is kind of confusing to me, is the wise guys. Wait, that could be a wise guy. Nope. The wise guys are on Tampa, though. But remember, at the earlier numbers, they played them at 4. They played them at 3.5. So remember, this week, more than any other, Colin, key numbers are around every game. There's 3, there's 7, there's 10. Those are the most three key numbers. So for the listeners, if you're betting, you can't lay 3.5 when the market's 3. You can't lay 10.5 when the market's 10. Get the best number. If you want to win long term around the key numbers, you can't take bad numbers.
It's interesting because Bucks at 4, I'd probably take Tampa. To me, this is the classic. I think Tampa will keep it close. But at 3, I think the Saints are the clear side. But this just goes to show, like, for instance, we talked about this perhaps last week. It didn't matter. But, you know, the Steelers-Browns game, I love the Steelers at 4, 4.5, as it started to balloon up to 6, 6.5, even though I like Pittsburgh, it just didn't feel the same. And I think one of the things we try to do on this podcast is tell people, shop for the better numbers. Now, I always think Sunday night, Monday morning, there's always one line that not that Vegas makes a mistake, but I think it's an opportunity. But as you've said, later in the week, lines over adjust. And so I actually think right now, Green Bay only minus 6.5, not 7 to 7.5. I think the line got better as the week progressed.
But remember, if the line gets better, it means you're going against the sharp money. It doesn't mean you're wrong, but if you bet, because the fact it went from 7.5 to 7 to 6.5, the Green Bay game, is a sign the sharps playing the Rams. Yeah. Now, you could make the case, well, the last time the wise guys played, the Rams was +7. I'm only laying 6.5, but that isn't enough. You can't both be right in that case. I will say this, as the week progresses, you're playing more against the market and less against the odds makers. And as much as people glorify the odds makers, I'd much rather play against the odds makers than play against the smartest people in the world, which is effectively the collective IQ, the wisdom of crowds, which the ultimate line is as you get towards game day. One last thing on that Packers game. I actually, if you do like the Pack, Colin, I would look first half, because Green Bay has the best first half differential of any team, and the Rams have the best defense in the second half. Their adjustments have been outstanding.
Yes.
If you do like Pack, I think first half is more attractive.
Please follow him on Twitter, at RJ in Vegas. He's on Fox Sports Radio every day for an hour, straight out of Vegas on Fox Sports Radio. RJ Bell. Thanks, RJ.
Thank you.